RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, pal, and...
Beans!
Yeah.
So exciting today.
Yeah, it's an exciting day.
Everything changed.
There is a shift, a great shift in the energy. There has been an upwardly mobile, bubbling kind of a thing going on all week, especially coming out of the drab, dark foreboding, we're all doomed, kind of a feeling of last week. And that's not to say that there isn't still a lot of chaos going on. But last night was pretty interesting to watch, and it was pretty uplifting. I think that the president knocked it out of the park.
It was, I mean, the difference between the two. Now, first of all, I think he trolled the living daylights out of everybody with those fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
They were absurd in a good way. I'm sitting there watching this and I'm like, wow, I have never seen a 5 to 7 minute long fireworks finale as good as this. And not only that, but everyone's reporting on them on the news. You see, you know, like MSNBC and CNN, and they're all talking about them. And then out of nowhere, his name,
just Trump.
It was just perfect.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless of course you're watching Fox News and you listen to Chris Soft Penis Wallace talking about Earth remarkably flat.
What was flat about it?
Here's the thing. I thought that it was a thorough dismantling of Biden's imaginary candidacy and the overall attack that the left has waged on the culture for a very long time. And to be honest, people like Chris Wallace is a part of that. There is no real battlefront in all this stuff. Both parties are compromised, and it's this is a very, very long systemic problem, dare I say. But it was a small audience on a front lawn. It was not 30,000 people in an echo box arena. So I guess maybe that's what he meant by energy, because there wasn't that much reverberation or volume, because the response was vibrant everywhere else. And he also said that the 70-minute talk time was way too long.
Too long. Why? Because Biden only spent 25 minutes barely getting through his... And not only that, but I think it was John Cardillo that pointed out that Biden's speech was pre-recorded because his cufflinks were in a different location than they were right after.
And it was a carbon copy of his 2008 speech.
Yep.
It was like almost verbatim. And I'm glad, and that's exactly the point I'm making too, and I'll probably make again tonight as well, is that, I mean, the fact that Trump spoke for that long alone was a jab and a shot at Joe Biden, who has been incredibly micromanaged in these short, tightly scripted public appearances all year. So it's, I don't know what the hell, you're only coming from a place of bitterness that you don't want this to be good if you're saying it was bad.
The issue is that they're going to have a really hard time now. So we're noticing this shift. Number one, C-SPAN, Frank, has been broadcasting this live uninterrupted and has gotten a ridiculous amount of viewership out of it, because they're on, even online in their streaming capacity, it's dwarfing anything else they've done. They've got millions of views on these videos. And the interesting thing about it is that they have call here if you're a Republican, call here Democrat, call here independent or other, right? And last night in the middle, they changed it. Support Trump, support Biden, support other. Because so many people were Democrats saying that they're now going to vote for President Trump, that instead of having the Democrat line continue to be called over and over with people saying that they wanted to support President Trump, they changed it to a support Trump line.
Well,
just think about that for a second. So
yeah.
You have that. You have every single major leftist figure mayors, councilmen, you know, senators, whoever, in unison yesterday, coming out and all of a sudden saying, this violence must end.
Oh, you know, it was the first night in like 93 nights that there was no rioting in Portland last night.
Yes.
Well, imagine that, Tracy.
Isn't it amazing?
Imagine that. And people said, well, maybe it's because Trump was talking about the federal investigations that were going on. No, these investigation people have been whisked off the street, you know, systematically and strategically over the course of weeks now. We've been talking about it all summer. Oh, there's unmarked vans and people saying, you know, jackbooted stormtroopers and all that stuff. That didn't stop anything.
No. No.
There was an order came down from on high.
Yes. And it's very clear that that's what it is. And it's not going to work. I mean, you cannot even Kamala Harris yesterday. I think I have it. I didn't pull this clip for some odd reason. I'm stupid. But even she was like, we must continue this. Just yesterday, her messaging was keep the protests up. And now all of a sudden we've got everybody saying, uh-oh, this internal polling is absolutely horrendous. Not only that, but Joe Biden's now announcing that he's going out on the stump. So he's going to be leaving his basement and going out all over the country a little bit too late, Joe. It's August 28th.
Yeah. It's September pretty much.
Yeah, you
after the weekend, it's September. You're done.
You should have been in Wisconsin, which has now become your next, you know, champion of socialist hell. And the people there are just not taking it. They're just not. And the visuals of last night, Frank, after this amazing unifying convention, which everybody, for the most part, outside of the talking heads who were paid to hate everything, thought was unifying and inspirational, with so few politicians and so many regular American stories that didn't feel scripted. Like, you could tell, first of all, the RNC did not produce this. The President Trump team did. I'm sorry. Let's just wipe ourselves of the notion that for some, this was an RNC created thing. Trust me, it wasn't. Yeah. I've seen so many conventions. I've been at, nope. And this was a television production with Trump's heart and soul behind it. And it showed in the speeches, in the people, in what they were allowed to say. I mean, they didn't hold anything back. At all.
Nothing. And it's true. It's true about it being a display of regular people and a lot of regular story. I you know who was really great last night for as soft spoken and, you know, as he is, Ben Carson.
Yeah, he's a sweetie.
I always really liked him when he was running for president. I said, oh, Ben, You're a brilliant, brilliant man, but you're just too soft spoken for this.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, hey, so was Calvin Coolidge, but this is 2020, not 1920. So
we're in a much different place.
Much different place.
So
there's a lot of great stuff that happened.
Yeah, and you have that visual. You have all of those people in there, maskless, standing next to one another, defeating. You know, finally. Nobody cared. They just got together and had a great time. It felt normal and uplifting and happy for the first time I felt last night so excited and positive and happy and proud. I haven't felt like that in goodness knows how long. And then after it's over, you get the shots of outside. You have these Antifa BLM thugs running after elderly people with their middle finger up, screaming obscenities. You have them wheeling in a guillotine to sit in front of the White House. You have them accosting Congress people. You know, Brian Mast was accosted. He has no legs. The contrast. And somebody, there was a homophobic attack on Brandon outside.
Brandon was there?
Yeah. Because Libby, the executive director for Walkaway, was on television last night.
Wow.
They did a story of her. She said she was a Bernie-supporting socialist, and now she is a huge Trump supporter. So they did and Mikey Harlow, who is also with Walkaway, was there on television. But they were all there at the speech, and they left. And Mikey Harlow and Brandon were attacked with... Brandon said it is... the worst homophobic attack he's ever had in goodness knows how many years from these BLM people, black people attacking him, calling him the F word. It's on film. Maybe we can play it.
It's not surprising to me. First of all, this marriage between racial interests and sexuality interests, it is a marriage that is not built to last. It has been very sloppily cobbled together to try to create a much larger voting bloc out of all these little radical out enclaves of special interest. There is no mixing. That is oil and water. I'm telling you right now, race and sexuality, oil and water. I live in New York, so this is you get a front row seat at seeing just how macho the racial interest groups have always been and always will be. And to try to have this over that's why when you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, which is pretty much being orchestrated by black lesbians, and you watch all this, you say, okay, well, these are all largely movements that are being worked over and controlled by sexual interest groups. Like, does anybody else notice this? That it's not even in its foundation really based on race. It's so much more I don't know. It's so much more. And all the components that they have together, they're not gonna last long. They're chemically incompatible. So they see it. Yeah, you know, you would think, yeah, whatever.
This is actually Kamala Harris from June. Okay, ready?
Putting on it that I clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
And guess what? She just basically conceded the election. She conceded the election in that statement. She said they're not going to let up after Election Day. Well, if you take the, you know, if Biden wins, what?
Well, is the president bringing any attention to that?
This was just rehashed. It was a Stephen Colbert interview. You know, he took the mask off and now he's a raging leftist. So he was interviewing her and it's just come back up today. I don't think anyone saw it, to be honest.
Well, so, I mean, that's definitely got on out there. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Steve Guest just tweeted it and it's got like a million views already. So the difference in they're realizing that, you know, again, I've said this over and over, the silent people that nobody thinks about, Democrats, even in Wisconsin, in this area where we had this guy, what was his name? I'm forgetting it, that defended himself and is now on murder charges.
The Kyle.
God, I can't believe I can't remember his name right now.
The 17-year-old?
Yeah. Kyle. Everyone should know his name. Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
Kyle Rittenhouse literally was he was defending himself. He was shot at. It's all on video everywhere. He killed two people and severely wounded another. And even the New York Times did a video sort of breakdown of this, Frank. And you can see he's defending himself. It's clear as day. They arrested the kid. He's 17. And he is now a white supremacist, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, for killing other white people.
Yes, he is a white supremacist, alt-right, crazy extremist from the Trump base. Actually. Yeah, who showed?
Now, I will say this: in watching all of the footage and seeing his interviews beforehand, and how he showed up to help clean up graffiti and to help administer any kind of medical assistance whenever he could and whatever, his heart was in the right place, but he was in over his head. I do not. It's. You know, I hate that he's 17 years old. He probably even shouldn't have been there.
He knows how to tactically handle a weapon, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, when he found himself in a life threatening situation. He did everything that you would hope that your son or daughter would do if they had any kind of means of defending themselves. And he did that. Now, you know, the 30,000 foot view is he was probably in over his head. And what the hell are you doing traveling to another state to be armed and do it? It's one thing to go show up and hang out with Scott Pressler in Philadelphia and clean up an alleyway for an afternoon and get home by dinner. But this is a pretty much a war zone. So that's the only thing that I would say to just be mindful of in the future. If you're young and idealistic, you got to realize that you may have to go out there and use that weapon. And there is an obvious push to make people pay for self defense. There's an obvious thing here.
Yeah, and the best part about it is, you know, his legal team is going to be blockbuster, because Shipwrecked Crew said, "I will defend him for free." Lynn Wood has taken his case. These people are in a world of trouble.
He's going to get off.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, because self-defense is, and the way that he shouldn't have been there. You what? Like, nobody buys your shit anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Nobody, he shouldn't have been there. Well, you know what? All of the rioting shouldn't have been going on. All of the looting and the destruction shouldn't have been going on. The intimidation. Most of the people that are in these neighborhoods are even saying these are not locals. So there's a lot of people who shouldn't be there. So where is the war going to be fought? Because there's no authority out there that's doing anything. The fact that people went after Tucker Carlson for making the very vanilla observation that it's going to get to a point where 17-year-olds are willing to do what law enforcement and governors and mayors are not. It's sad, but it's not false.
One of the guys that was killed, I don't know if you know this.
Pedophile
felon who wasn't supposed to have a weapon, and people are defending that trash. He sexually assaulted a minor. And they're like, "Oh, you know, an innocent protester was killed." Not only that, but the Kenosha Police Department yesterday released a statement, Frank.
What'd they say?
They said, I'm going to read it because it's just so far back on my timeline because I tweeted too much. They found out-of-state people with fireworks and gasoline, and they arrested them all. And it was because of a tip from so now let me just go through something that happened here. We reported on this stuff, and we reported on it as protests and riots. And we said that, you know, there were violent protests and riots and violence. And we went over all the things that happened the first night and blah, 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 blah. And I got a complaint from somebody saying, "These are for people from out of state. How dare you report them as protesters? You know, these are all rioters. They're from out of state." And I said, "Can you show me any proof? Do you have a photo? Do you have a witness statement that can be corroborated? Do you have somebody I can talk to that will go on the record? Is there anything that I can use to prove without a shadow of a doubt that these people are from out of state?" Because the first thing everybody always says is, "They're not even from here." Well, I can't just say that. I need to prove it. Now we can. Media release. During the early evening hours of August 26, 2020, Kenosha Police Department received a citizen tip alerting us to several suspicious vehicles with out-of-state plates meeting in a remote lot near State Highway 50 and Green Bay Road. Acting on this information, Kenosha police officers located the suspicious vehicles, took up surveillance. They were assisted by the United States Marshals Service. The vehicles were a black school bus, bread truck, and tan minivan. Kenosha police confirmed the out-of-state license plates. Police followed the vehicles to a gas station. Police observed them exit and attempt to fill multiple fuel cans. Suspecting that they were preparing for a criminal activity related to the civil unrest, they attempted to make contact and investigate. The officers exited their vehicles, identified themselves, were wearing appropriate identification, and then detained them. The minivan attempted to drive away. However, Kenosha police stopped this vehicle and ultimately forced entry and arrested the occupants.
This was done during the day, right?
I believe. No, during the early evening hours of August 26th.
Oh, okay. Because I saw. Okay. Whenever, keep going.
This was the food riot truck. The vehicles contained various items that included helmets, gas masks, protective vests, illegal fireworks, and suspended controlled substances. Nine individuals were arrested for disorderly conduct and are pending charging decisions by the DA. But the feds got them.
As I was saying last night, because I was listening to some of the clips that the Federalist had compiled with Kenosha residents that were looking around saying anybody from around here wouldn't be destroying these businesses. And we know that something's going on. There was one man with his daughter. He worked in he was military police for a while and did counterterrorism. And there's just too much stunk about the whole thing. So definitely you have to and of course, like I said, 93 sustained nights of rioting and violence in Portland, and all of a sudden they stayed home last night.
Yeah.
These people are taking orders. I said it yesterday on the show. When you have if you ever watch, next time you watch The Sopranos or next time you watch a mob movie, and take very, very close note of who the big fish with the deep pockets send off to, you know, do a hit job if they want to make sure that there is a good degree of separation from them from the scene. They usually go for low-level, low-income thugs and the people who are disposable if anything should go south. You know, there's a difference between someone wanting to leave their calling card on a situation, a couple of coins on the eyelids of a dead body, or whatever the hell it is, an ace of spades that is slipped between the fingerprints of fingertips of a corpse. That's something else. This is something totally different here. This is organized, it's orchestrated. And the other thing that you should realize too is it's not only just that in itself. And alone, isolated. It's not just these people are coming in, they're causing problems, and the locals have nothing to do with it. These people who are sent into these towns, and they start the fires, and they make sure that there's so much chaos that the police go away, and then it's open season on department stores and jewelry stores and everything else. They are merely a psychological trigger for all of the, you know, the aimless people in the local area who wants something to do. And then it becomes a cathartic experience for locals who aren't ideologically driven. So there's a place for everybody in this chaos. It's not just that Antifa thugs come into a town from multiple states away and they're the only ones doing anything. They definitely trigger other people to act. So there's that too.
I didn't know that the Ace of Spades was yours.
Oh, that's me.
Damn.
Ace of Spades.
I was wondering. Now I know. Everybody out there, Frank is the Ace of Spades.
Well, I can't leave a Joker card behind. That's already been taken.
No, I agree with you 100%. And you know, this is a small town. What's the population? 100,000?
Yeah. That's a small town these days.
It is a small town. I mean, it is. It really is. Yeah, 100,164 in 2018. Look, these people know their neighborhood. It's not a very big area. It would almost be as though someone came to my county here and did the same thing. I would know exactly where they were, everywhere they were, even though there's 100,000 people or 200,000 people in my county, whatever. So, you know, you can't. And these are small businesses that have, that one mattress store has helped so many people as per others in the community. And there, you know, the funny thing is a lot of these people weren't before opposed to the Black Lives Matter message and the police violence issue. They're saying, like, go take it out with them. Why are you hurting us? Like, they're not even saying this is all wrong. How dare you attack the police?
Listen, nobody in this country would be opposed to Black Lives Matter if in these towns and cities where the people who should know their business the best feel like there is some sort of a problem with the way that law enforcement conducts itself and its relationship with their surrounding communities, and they went right to the source of the problem. Nobody would be against Black Lives Matter if in a place like Minnesota, the people have diagnosed that there is a real bad problem between the police and the people inside the town. And what do? They pack the town halls and they stand and they protest and they chant right outside of a police department. And they keep it all the pressure where they believe the problem is. Nobody. People would say, well, they're protesting. They know their community better than we do over here in Miami, Florida. So I hope that they get everything that they want done. But that's not happening. They turn outwardly. They explode on people that have nothing to do with it. And especially since there's Marxism that is driving this entire thing, it's even more ridiculous, because if you get your way and you do take over the country and you are able to seize the economy and the political system, who the hell are you going to tax? Who are you going to tax? You're destroying the people that you actually have to leech off of vampires.
Yeah. So funny. It's true. You know the crazy thing, too? Last night when they attacked Rand Paul outside, he got attacked with his wife. They had to, shield him with cops. They were, demanding that he acknowledge the death of Breonna Taylor. Now, listen. What's his name? Brandon Tatum put out the other day what he claims is the internal investigative report from the police department in the death of Breonna Taylor. Do you know anything about this?
Yes. That it turns out that it may have been that someone inside the house shot first and she was caught in a crossfire.
Yes. The person inside used her as a shield. Now, what we were told, this started out on YouTube, by the way. It was a little social justice-y. Nobody's talking about Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was involved, it appears, in this little ring of criminality that was going on here. And we were told that she was sleeping at home in her bed all alone. And then the cops just charged in and shot her to death. That is totally not what happened. However, Rand Paul was the one who introduced legislation to ban no-knock search warrants and named that after Breonna Taylor. So these people are going after Rand Paul. Say her name! Say her name!
Oh, yeah, no, they're out of their minds. I was listening to it, too. If you see these mobs of unthinking lunatics anywhere, the last thing you should ever try to do is engage with them verbally, because there's no communication skills and there's no desire to communicate there, even if they had the skills to communicate. So like you said before, the irony of Rand Paul legislating against no-knock raids and always being a man that supports the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution, and the need for there to be warrants to do anything in this kind of a sense. There he is walking through a crowd of people.
Say her name! Say her name!
and they say, Breonna Taylor, over and over again. They say, they're screaming her name. Her name is Breonna Taylor. Her name is Breonna Taylor. And I'm like, oh my God. They show up to these rallies with three phrases in mind. And they never say anything else. And they don't even know who they're talking to. They're screaming. I mean, if they had any kind of knowledge, they would know who Rand Paul is on a civil libertarian end. This is a guy that you could see as an ally. And you're intimidating him and his wife in these what? It's sick.
It is. And this is what you're talking about here. This is somebody who recorded a video and deleted it after it went viral, by the way, or somebody did anyway, because it was missing for a long time. But I got it. This video this is in response to the shootings in Kenosha.
Fucking rampage. Civilians with AR-15s are out there shooting and killing protesters. And you motherfuckers want to get on TikTok and talk about what if he did this? What if he did this? Talking about Democrats want fucking war. But y'all out there walking around with fucking AR-15s shooting people. And the police are passing out waters? Fuck it! Stop it!
What the hell? Oh my God.
Fuck your hate. Fuck you. you. Fuck America. I'll give a fuck no more. Tell what war
yeah, put her in a cage. Shit. Yeah, put her in a cage. Oh my God. Shoot her with a tranquilizer. Just get one of those rhino tranquilizers. Put her back in her crib for 12 hours. So she's got to sleep this one off. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. I have an answer for her. I have an answer.
What's that?
I'm so sorry yeah. this is happening to you.
I know.
I hope that you get the help you need.
poor woman. We should only ever live in a country where you can, without any kind of pushback, destroy other people's lives without them coming out to defend themselves and others who have been rendered completely defenseless in the face of your unending tirades and rage. Yes. We should only ever live in a world where that screaming banshee of a woman feels safe to just have her way with the streets at night. It's her streets.
You want to know what our soundtrack will be?
What's that? Oh boy.
You feel that?
David Draymond. You know David Draymond's a libertarian, right?
I did not, but it makes sense.
Yes, he's a libertarian. He and my brother have gotten decently
shut up.
Decently regular with
Shut
each
up.
Other.
Shut up.
Well, yeah. Well, you know how many times Anthony's covered Disturbed in all of his videos? Anthony's friends with Korn now.
No way.
Yeah, he's friends with a lot of people. I remember the first when his first video went viral. It was Boyz II Men reached out to him, wanting him to come out to Vegas and stuff like
oh
that.
Oh my gosh, your brother's famous.
It's awesome to go to like a music convention with Anthony, because everybody, you know, I'm always the one taking pictures of him with, you know, dozens of people and stuff. Like, I'm the camera guy when we go out to NAMM or something in California, although I'll probably never go back there again.
Yeah, no, after your last experience. After your last experience. All right, so you want to shift, like, however long this is going to take to do Spygate-related political matters for the second half here?
Whatever you want to do.
Last night, the interview we did was really good. I thought it was good.
I think it was fantastic, yeah.
It was full of information.
And I'm glad we got it all in, because right after the break, the internet went out at the studio.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and so it was a short episode, and you were pretty much the centerpiece of the whole thing. Yep.
Last night, Catherine Herridge tweeted about Joseph Pienka. She said, "Scoop, two sources close to the Senate probe tell CBS News that FBI agent Joe Pienka has been interviewed behind closed doors for multiple hours by investigators with Senate Judiciary and Senate Oversight Governmental Affairs. In 2018, then-Chairman Chuck Grassley first sought Pienka's testimony, but the request was denied until now." Why it matters. Pienka is at the intersection of key events in the Durham investigation. Along with Agent Peter Strzok, Pienka conducted the January 2017 White House interview of General Flynn that led to his dismissal. More recently, declassified records show Pienka and others used an August 2016 defensive briefing to warn candidate Trump, Flynn, and Governor Christie about national security threats to gather information on their line of questioning about Russia for the FBI probe known as Crossfire Hurricane. These events and decision making fall under Durham, i.e., Durham is done with Pienka, and he can talk.
So, what do you think he's going to talk about?
Oh gosh, so much. He was so involved in everything, Pienka.
If you had 5 minutes with him, the first thing you would ask? Do you know, or would you have to think about it?
I would want to. Yeah, I do. I have a couple questions. Number one, I would want to ask him, if he was forced to tell me the truth, how much input Andy McCabe had into his actions.
Okay.
I would also want to know why it is that they reassigned him and removed him from the FBI website. And I would want to know how much work he did with FBI agent Steven Soma, who was Halper's handler and Steele's Halper's handler.
Well, let's hope that all the right people already asked those questions.
Well, I mean,
The second question. No, Mom.
Why? What? You don't think they?
The second question is, you know, why would investigators ask why he was taken off the website? You know, they were probably the ones who took him off the website.
Well, not those, but not the. Not, I want to know why they were trying to hide him. Was it because he was cooperating? Was it because he wasn't cooperating? Was it because they were trying to hide him so no one paid attention? What was it all about? And yesterday, you know, that we had this whole big thing come out about what's his name? Rod Rosenstein, and how he got an email that said that he was removing himself from consideration. Mueller was removing himself from consideration for the FBI job. Rod Rosenstein wrote to Mark Philippe on May 16th. I am with Mueller. He shares my view. Duty calls. Sometimes the moment chooses us. Right? Then there's a meeting for Bob Mueller to come visit. Friday morning would be August 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. I don't know. The 16th, I guess, or the 17th. Yeah. Then on the 17th, which is a Wednesday, it says blank called this morning and also withdrew his name from consideration. The problem is that he said he was never interviewing for the FBI job, remember?
Who? Mueller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's lied to Congress under oath. If this email has something to do with it, or Rod Rosenstein was lying the entire time. Now, it might sound like a little thing, but...
No, it doesn't sound like a little thing at all. I would just love... Here's the thing for me. You want to talk about things and how little or big they are. The thing for me is that any one thing that we discuss that someone might have been a part of or committed to... Any one thing in a criminal justice sense means 5 to 10 years. And everybody's engaged in multiple things. I'm just like, pick one and send some people to jail.
I know.
Just one.
I know. You know, I'm having a hard time, Frank, because I'm getting a little bit frustrated. Let me vent my frustration.
Please.
I'm reporting things and people are saying, wake me up when someone goes to jail, or... Who cares? Or it? Listen, if you don't want to read it, then don't. Then don't. There are still some people out there who want to know what's going on around them. If you're not one of those people, you know, I'm just getting tired of being badgered with that over and over again. If you don't want to see what the reporting is, then just don't look at it. Unfollow me if you don't want to see it, or leave, or whatever. But stop beating me up for doing my job. It sucks.
Well, I mean, the rock and the hard place scenario for everybody that is taking interest in current events and wants to know whether or not there's going to be any semblance of justice served here is that even though there is always going to be that really thick underlying layer of frustration that the entire world isn't being arrested right now, it is also very important to keep reading. Because it's not enough to just tell people, oh, well, so-and-so should be in jail. And somebody says, well, why? And you can't really, you need to be able to go into why. I mean, whether or not we get what is deserved, what these people deserve is actually secondary to just understanding the story. I mean, because even in the end, if nothing happens the way that we want it to be, you'll still be able to explain why we were left with a great injustice instead of just saying, oh, the people I don't like didn't go to jail. You know, so it's important to understand the details. That's why I know that's the flip side of all this stuff is a lot of people, including myself, from time to time, just like, oh, I don't have time to read this. It almost feels useless at this point. But whether or not we get the results we all desire, it's still very, very important we understand what is and is not happening. Because then you can actually be the person who in the room who knows what the hell they're talking about. And you don't just turn up like the flip side of the left where, yeah. Oh, I don't like Donald Trump. He should be in jail.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. And you're right. And it stinks because everybody's so frustrated. Oh, dude, wake me up when something happens. Wake me up when someone goes to jail. Wake me up when... Listen, somebody is going to go to jail. And we have somebody who just copped a plea. And, I'm so frustrated right now. I don't even want to talk about it. Because part of me is like, the comments that I'm going to get afterwards are just so deflating that I
well, just remember, fine, just remember, say, I would say 70% or more of the people who dismiss all of this out of hand. It's one thing to absorb the information and still have your skepticism and still have your frustration. I'm not telling anybody to purge yourself of human emotion. But for the people who are just, you know, dismiss it out of hand and just, you know, resort back to whatever, none of them. If you were to get them alone and say, can you explain what John Brennan's role in all this was? None of them would be able to tell you. None.
Well, that's the thing. Like, people make, you know, and I'm all for debating these things because it's important, right? But some people make these blanket statements. This is the truth. Nothing is ever going to happen because, you know, John Durham is a deep state traitor and so is Bill Barr. And I say, okay, can you show me something that proves that John Durham is a deep state traitor? No. But these are the types of statements they're going around making everywhere. So what's making you say that? Like, the problem that I have with it is that there has been no evidence to this point that is even remotely close to true. We don't have any evidence to support that theory at all, like zero.
They've been reading too many slide threads on 4chan.
For real. I mean,
that's it. There's so much heavy shilling going on out there where you have these little glowies that show up. FBI. I mean, how many times have we seen the proof that the FBI are on the 4chan boards and they're in comment sections all over the internet, and they're shilling for one thing, one reason or because they know that outside of reading an article, people go directly to the comment section to see what opinion that they're most likely to adopt and reinforce. And there's always intelligence in there. And then people go out into the internet and they start just spouting it off as if it's
like,
their own.
It's like a virus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they know. Listen, they have figured out the human psyche a long, long time. And the tools that they have at their disposal to mess with us are only getting better. So you also have to just wonder how many people's opinions really are their own. I mean, we know from Dr. Robert Epstein that Google is in the business of giving people, implanting, like they're in the Inception business. 75% of people don't even know that they're being manipulated by Google search engine manipulation. And all those opinions turn into polling activity. I mean, this is serious stuff. Everybody's doing it.
It is. But it's, you know what? It's so easy to not let yourself fall into that trap. Just request that you are proof, like, you know, people show you evidence. Like, let's talk about my Kleinsmith thread that I did, which I made into an article, by the way. Everybody was saying that Kleinsmith is not cooperating, that there's no cooperation deal, that this is just a slap on the wrist as a show trial, and they're, you know, we've been duped again, and it's over, right? Well, that's actually not the case at all. It is very clear inside of his plea arrangement that he is cooperating. As a matter of fact, it literally says it in there. You just have to look at the statute that's cited. When you're not weaponizing plea agreements for political reasons, you don't need a page and a half spelling out how the person's cooperating with you. You need one sentence spelling it out. If you don't cooperate with us in this way, X, Y, and Z, then this plea deal is null and void. Mueller's plea deals were political tools for the media and Congress. So there's that. And then we had Rick Grenell last night, too. Not two nights ago, sorry. Rick Grenell, we talked about this yesterday. It was huge. Like, I don't think people get it, what he said and where these people are. Let's listen.
Yes.
What I saw made me sick to my stomach. The Obama-Biden administration secretly launched a surveillance operation on the Trump campaign and silenced the many brave intelligence officials who spoke up against it.
What?
And that's why I had to bring you on last night. That's why I had to bring you on last night.
That one sentence and silenced the many intelligence. What did he say? The many. Hold on.
Who spoke up against it. The many brave intelligence officials.
Officials.
Who spoke up against it.
Intelligence officials who spoke up against it. Silenced them how? Where did they go? Have they been cooperating? What evidence did they gather for themselves? Where did the orders to silence them come from? Why? We are learning this for the very first time two nights ago, officially. Why? Who gave the green light for him to say it there? And when I tweeted that it was a MOAB, he retweeted it. That means he confirms it is a MOAB.
And how many is many?
Exactly. Is it 100? Is it 10? Were they in positions of authority? I mean, there are so many questions. And we, you know, this just shows you, we talk about this all the time, Frank, how much more do they know that we have no idea about at all when we know so much? And then I went through the list of things that he's done, for which is pretty impressive. You want to go through it real quick?
Sure. Yes, please.
So I got this from, honestly, I remembered reading it in Lee Smith's book, The Permanent Coup. And I'm clicking on the wrong article again. Mother.
Tell your children not to walk my way.
I got very depressed there for a moment.
Where? Go. When? Why?
Because I just find it's so important people know about this stuff. And I get so upset when people are just like so dejected that they don't care anymore, because that's how we got here. Okay. As discussed in acclaimed journalist and author's Lee Smith new book, The Permanent Coup, I put a link in there to buy it, by the way, Grenell and Patel were responsible for a stunning amount of transparency, declassifying all interviews before the HPC in regards to the Trump-Russia collusion saga, declassifying the footnotes in the FISA report that showed the FBI knew that the Steele dossier was based on misinformation, declassified Rod Rosenstein's scope memo for the Mueller special counsel, declassified a list of the Obama administration officials who had requested unmaskings of General Flynn, declassified the transcripts of Flynn's calls with Kislyak, which show sanctions were never discussed, which is contrary to what the DOJ and FBI had said. Declassified the memo for the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Declassified the January 4th memo closing the investigation into General Flynn, which showed there was no derogatory information found on him. Declassified the text messages between Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, and Joseph Pienka discussing the General Flynn case. And there were even like five or six more things. Emails between Sally Yates and emails with Susan Rice. All kinds of stuff he's declassified. God bless Richard Grenell. God bless him.
And like I asked you last night, why the hell wasn't he made a permanent member of the cabinet?
He had to be confirmed.
There's just so much.
I couldn't answer you last night because my brain didn't work fast enough, but that's why. Because he was in a temporary appointment and he would have had to been confirmed.
Well, I guess that's that then. Hopefully, I don't know. He's very diligent. And I loved when he was around when he was.
Yeah. And he has not gone quietly. He is a very important figure. As a matter of fact, there was a little commercial they did, which I thought was so cute. Don Trump Jr. was standing there and he had two Red Bulls in his hand or something. And he was like, "We're ready to go. We're ready to go." He was wearing an American flag jacket. And Richard Grenell came walking in with like one of those bedazzled Trump clutch purses and said, "Don't forget your purse." It was really funny.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember when we could laugh. And, you know, speaking of laughing, Frank, I just read that Jim Gaffigan has one of the only apolitical comments left.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. What?
He spent an hour and a half yesterday crapping all over President Trump about how he's a con man and his supporters.
Oh, Gaffigan did that to himself.
He ruined it.
Why? Who was? Whatever. Whatever. Okay. If that was below the surface, then fine. Fine. Whoever pressured him into that, that's sad. So now he's the latest act to land himself a residency on the liberal mental institution. That's it.
His last tweet was, heading to bed, but remember, if you want to sound crazy, please tell me about the deep state. To sound stupid, please be against cancel culture, but then accuse anyone with an opinion of virtue signaling. Trump derangement syndrome is meant to distract from the con of Don.
What?
He says Trump literally ran Paul Ryan out of politics because Paul Ryan knew Trump was poison. So does Romney. Trump isn't a conservative or even a Republican. Oh, you know that. God. You know Barr is dirty. You know if Trump gets reelected, it's over. How many books have to be written? Fox News is biased and full of loons. It's how they gaslight and silence criticism. Do you think any of those congressional Republicans really believe in Trump, or do they fear him and don't want to end up like Flake? I don't give an F if anyone thinks this is virtue signaling or whatever. We need to wake up. We need to call
Trump. No, it's not virtue signaling. You haven't signaled any virtue. Right. You're just stupid.
Yeah.
You're stupid and you don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. I would have to – you'd have to start from the beginning of that drivel.
There's more.
And take it line by line to even make sense of it.
Trump butting up with dictators is radical. Trump having interfering with the Justice Department is radical. Trump pandering to the police and army, I gave three raises, is radical. Hold on. You know Trump just creates enemies. You know you can't trust him. You know he's been incompetent during this crisis. You know all these people didn't need to die. Trump talks about the space program and you can't safely go to a movie. Wake up. Everything that Trump accuses the Democrats of, he's guilty of. Don't let the socialist name calling distract you from the fact he's a fascist who has no belief in law.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Please don't buy that socialist crap either. Obviously, Obama wasn't a socialist. This is all lies to scare you and you know it. Biden is not radical.
He wasn't a socialist. No, he wasn't a socialist. No, not at all. Obamacare, one fifth the size of the entire economy and a stepping stone to single payer and it wasn't a socialist at all.
He said this to those of you who think I'm destroying my career. Wake up. If Trump gets elected, the economy will never come back.
Well, maybe for you, because now you're only going to be pandering to people who, to crazy people, a fraction of the society that don't want to be pandered to or dictated to by insane people.
He's everything he said was wrong. Everything.
Yeah. But this is what they do. They overload you with bullshit. So you can't pick a place
to start. I know.
Pick a place to start. They overload you with bullshit. Say one thing, Jim, and defend your position. And then once you have been either vindicated or you have been defeated, say another thing. And then defend your position. No, you and to say you know. Okay. We're going to Mars, but we can't go to a movie theater. Well, who's your governor, Jim? Who's your governor? Because that's who closed down Alamo Draft House. All right, that's who closed it down. That's who closed down Lowe's.
They can't help themselves, Frank. They can't help themselves. It's like a sickness. The only thing that's going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it is independent movies and films.
Well, I was saying this yesterday when I was talking to Brendan Dilley and Adel on their 4 o'clock show, and it is watching these Hollywood people and these athletes. And everybody's struggling so mightily with the new world that is going on right now. I mean, they have absolutely nothing left. If you take a look at where we have gone as a culture in the last couple of months alone, of course, Hollywood and athletes, they're lashing out and they want everyone around them fired, and they want to make the big statement of the day. They want to have the big Twitter thread. They want to be covered in some way. Their workplaces and their credibility are toast. Their reputations are destroyed. Their movies, their music, their on-field and off-field antics, it is all incoherent. None of it jives with the statements that they made the day before. They're not consistent, and they're only talking insanities to people who are insane. And because all of that has been destroyed for them, they have gone all in with their transition into politics. And their transition has only revealed how low IQ they are, and how cringe they are, and how irrelevant they are. You know, I had made this other comment, you know, in really looking at what the Chinese has done by investing in our culture, like Hollywood and the NBA. The NBA was always a quasi-communist, you know, funnel point for the Chinese, as we can see. A little bit of sports, a little bit of common causes, and of course the Chinese have a great great desire to see our society fall apart, just like the Soviets did when the Soviets put all of their agents inside of our newspapers and inside the State Department and everything else. This is what you do, the enemies within, and they were sponsors of the enemies within, the Chinese. So now that veneer of good old-fashioned American athletics is gone, and we're just seeing what is left, and they're purely transitioning into nothing but politics, all they are talentless know-nothings that nobody – I mean, it's done. These celebrities in Hollywood that get together, they have their – they sing us Imagine by John Lennon, and they don't realize – how awful and weird and vapid they look without a multi-million-dollar Hollywood budget, without special effects, without somebody writing their lines, without somebody doing their makeup. There's nothing left of them. That's just so sad that Jim Gaffigan would destroy his own economy like that, because he had held it together. Though I wasn't, I never really like ran. Oh, there's a new Jim Gaffigan special out. I haven't watched any of his stuff in years, but I knew that even when politics wasn't as vicious as it is now, he always rode the line. He never cursed. He just talked about family stuff and observational comedy and Hot Pockets and stuff like that. And it was something that you knew that you were at least going to have a little bit of a giggle, and it wasn't going to cost you anything. But man, oh man, he's talking about the president destroying economies and destroying – he just destroyed his own economy. Why? And then you're going to blame it on the president when nobody shows up at your shows anymore, when you're doing small clubs again? Ugh.
I have nothing to add to that. It's perfect. The only thing that I will add to it before we listen to some Democrats calling C-SPAN is the reporters today – instead of reporting on anything that we're talking about or talking about the issues facing America, are fact-checking Ivanka's claim that her son made a Lego replica for President Trump.
I saw it. They'll get a Pulitzer Prize soon.
No word whether or not he actually made the Lego replica or where it is. I mean, this is what they're doing. They're literally reporting on this, like on Twitter, like, we're finding out about this Lego set. Like, are you kidding me? We need to know about this Lego set that's supposedly sitting inside the White House this little brat made.
60 Minutes, they're going to actually, they're going to interview the young grandson.
They'll have him on. Mary Trump will be there. And
they're going to catch him in a gotcha. We got the six-year-old right where we wanted him. Something's inconsistent about this story. This six-year-old con man. Did he build this?
Just Ivanka Trump using her son as fodder for stories in her speech about her father, her evil father. Anyway, here.
But do you still consider yourself a Democrat?
I will be changing that.
I'm a lifelong Democrat. My family comes from the Kennedy Democrats, and I will be voting for Trump this election.
Norma, did you watch the Democrats last week?
No, I did not. I couldn't be bothered watching them. I want to tell you also that we're from Massachusetts, and we were lifelong, and my parents were Democrats, but we're not anymore. We're Republicans.
America, to me, is freedom of speech is the biggest one that the Democrats have just lost me on. They've been attacking it. They keep preaching that they're the party of love and tolerance, but you got to read the fine print. That's only if you believe as they do. You know, and that's not the way we are in this country. If I hate every word coming out of your mouth, I'm going to fight right next to you to make sure you get to say it. That's what America's about, and they just don't get it.
America needs to stay as America. I'm very upset with everything that's going on in this country, and I've been a registered Democrat for many years, and this is, I'm done. I'm ready. I need a change.
I've been in the Democratic Party for a long time and see the way that the direction of the country is headed. I want America to stay a place that is free, that is pro-business, that is less regulation, that stands for freedom, that stands for defense of our nation. And I see it going a different way with the Joe Biden potential.
God.
There's 8 minutes and 52 seconds of that.
You gotta send me that, because I was going to play a compilation last night and I only had three callers. That's amazing.
8 minutes and 52 seconds. I'm going to text it to you. This is, I'm telling you, that is no fluke. That's not fake or people just calling in saying it. I'm telling you, that is middle of, they are so screwed, Frank.
See, I was saying this last night too. A lot of things I say the night before. I realize I say, and I was just saying this last night, but I swear to God.
Well, you do a show every night, so of course you're going to say that.
You know, I got to talk for 2 hours a night. I'm going to say a lot of things. Many of it I don't remember the next day, but anybody that's paying attention, it's not going the other way.
No.
It's not going the other way. There is... I mean, for example, you have all of these voices coming through. You have all of these walkaway moments. You cannot fake what people like Brandon Strzok has been able to work on. You cannot fake what he has done. You cannot fake the results that he has gotten. On the other hand, who is crossing the line to pledge with Joe Biden? 100 former staffers of Mitt Romney and George W. Bush. And
yeah, but they tried to yank walk away for the convention. They had supposed Republicans, you know, like everyday people that crossed over. The problem is we looked them up, Frank. They're registered Democrats for like a decade. They couldn't even find anybody outside of those like hoity-toity establishment type figures. It's not happening. And, you know, even if right now the Democrats are like, oh my God, what have we done? Which they are calling off these riots or trying to stop the violence. As our good friend has said, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Americans are going to see that, and you're going to be worse off than you were would have been if you just would have said nothing, because now they'll see you're pandering to them and you're lying to them. And it's going to spur a whole new generation of people who have finally opened their eyes to the trash that you have been cramming down their throats for the past God knows how many years.
Well, the other thing I would add to that is that, We're at a place where all the worst elements of our society right now have been – people are getting wise as to what they're all about, where they come from, and what the real purpose of all this is. So in looking at the fact that we are now staring at September and October in the face, it's September as of Tuesday, okay, we're getting there. So pretty much this is your last weekend in August, and then Monday's the 31st. It's over. The month is over. You have 2 months until election day. This is usually the point where you would say, all right, well, buckle in. You have the Democrats that are in a statistical free fall, while Donald Trump is not only holding steady, but he's on the rise. And
no October surprise to attack him with.
What is the October surprise?
They have nothing.
You've done everything.
They used it all. They've used everything. There's nothing left.
I mean, what can you do? It doesn't matter. I mean, as he has shown every time that there's even a natural disaster that comes our way, he is on the ball. He is making sure that there there's no hurricane that could hit, that could ruin him right now. They're trying everything. So what the hell do they actually even have for an October surprise? Because if they commit to, jabbing the ass of the street chaos with steroids. Oh, well, everybody's already wise to where the street chaos is coming from. You can't double down on that. And all of these last minute 11th hour proclamations that the riots must end, when you were categorizing it as block parties in the summer of love.
There were never riots. Then all of a sudden now there are.
It's a myth. Yeah. Jerry Nadler. It was a myth. That was a couple of weeks ago.
That doesn't matter. They're done. They're finished. And lastly, before we go, because we're over now. But if Joe Biden doesn't debate, he's screwed. If Joe Biden does debate, he's screwed. He's screwed.
This is where Joe Biden has to say, I just went to my doctor today and they said that I have a blocked artery.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to slip on out. And I hope that you all consider my friend Michelle.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
The ballot's already printed, Frank. She can't come in. Beans! You can listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Monday.
Later.
Monday
it is.
Later.
This is a Lawfather Podcast Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
As always, I try to bring a tie-in to Florida here. I am a Florida attorney, and I don't practice anywhere other than Florida. So one of the first things that we want to look at is the wrongful death statute. Now, every state, either they have a wrongful death statute or they don't. I know Florida does, because we're going to look at that here real quickly. But like I said, this part of it is solely related to Florida, and it talks about what the survivor's rights are. Okay. Now, if you are a single individual and you don't have any family, then there is no mechanism for a wrongful death case. So just kind of keep that in mind. It sounds kind of weird, right? Because maybe somebody did truly do something wrong, and really, you truly should be able to recover something. But if there's nobody to recover it on your behalf, there's nothing there. And you may say, well, what if you had a will that named somebody a beneficiary, right? The recipient of whatever funds you had at the time of your death. Well, the wrongful death statute doesn't apply to that, because the calculation comes down to the family relationship and what you could do for it. So what we look at is, and I'm going to read the statute, then we'll break it down some, is that each survivor may recover the value of loss support and services from the date of the decedent's injury to his or her death with interest, and future loss of support and services from the date of death and reduced to present value. Now, what does that mean, right? What does any of that mean other than that the survivors may recover the value of loss support and services? Well, what are loss support and services? Basically, right? If you're a parent, what do you provide to your kids? Do you go out and play with them? Do you go out and you have to work three shifts to put food on the table? Or do you, somewhere in the middle of all that, some combination of all those things?
The Lawfather Podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.